When I'm looking for high-quality furniture that doesn't break the bank, I don't have to settle for subpar styles because I can find everything I need at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, I can score everyday low prices on pieces that real customers love, like Consumer Reports recommended mattresses, real marble dining sets, and the best-selling modular Bob's sectional, which has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So stock up on five-star style and visit Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, everybody. Welcome into another edition of the Sal Sports and Stuff podcast. Also have a little video element to it for those of you who want to catch a video and see a couple of really, really good looking guys, especially the one that's on the screen with me right now. John Scott from Spectrum News is going to be joining me here on the podcast. John, how are you, buddy?
I'm good. I love talking draft and we're getting closer.
Yeah, we're going to do that. We're going to have what we're going to do here on the pod today very quickly. I don't want to keep these podcasts going too long. I like to have it just wrapped up nice and neat for everybody on their commute, wherever they do. Maybe they're, you know, mowing the lawn as the weather's getting nicer, something they can do for, you know, a good half hour, 45 minutes tops. But we have two mock drafts we want to do, so we'll fly through them. And the idea here today is I'm going to start with pick number one. We're going to go all the way through the Bills pick at 30, and we can even do the final two. That's fine. And then we're going to do the same thing, but John's going to start with pick number one in the Jags. And we're going to do the same thing to see how the board has fallen differently. We won't spend a ton of time talking about each draft pick, but we're just going to kind of fly through these picks and see how the board falls differently based on how the two of us would draft. Before I do that, though, I didn't tell John this. I don't want to spend too much time. He knows I went to Cleveland. He's an Indians fan. He loves Cleveland sports. He knows all about the city. We had a great time at Progressive Field. It was really cool, man. Seriously, that's a great stadium. I know you've spent a lot of time there.
Yeah, we had season tickets from the opening season of 94 through, I don't know, like 2010. Obviously, I was away at college and stuff for part of that, but had fantastic seats around back behind home plate where the old netting used to end. But I saw your seats in the standing room. I've also done those as well. It's a stadium that has truly withstood the test of time.
I've never been a standing room only guy. I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. But, you know, we did it because it was cheap and because we figured, hey, there's only 30% people there. We'll have room. It's not like we're going to be elbow to elbow. And it worked out great, man. And, you know, and we had great seats. We got there early enough that I got right down in the first row above right field. And, you know, Max has his Aaron Judge jersey on and he's watching Aaron Judge right in front of him in right field, which was really cool. So I just really enjoyed the experience. It went the Indians way, not the Yankees way, at least that game on Sunday. But it was a very cool experience. Have you ever been to the Christmas Story House, by the way?
Actually, I have not. And I will admit, even though born and raised in Cleveland, I've never been to it. And I actually don't even really like that movie that much. It would not make my top five Christmas stories. I think it's TBS that does like a marathon on Christmas Day. Let's shift it to Christmas Story or Elf as opposed to Christmas Story.
That's on the tease of the podcast. I'm just going to tease it out there right now. I'm telling you right now, I'm going to tease it. Why John Scott does not like, why don't you like Christmas stories?
I just don't think it's that funny, to be honest with you. Now, it is cool to see like the department store at the beginning of the movie. My dad worked there for a little bit growing up. He's born and raised in Cleveland. So like that's cool. And that department store is, I believe, right where the casino is right now for those who've been to Cleveland. So like it's cool to see that. But, you know, there's parts of it. I just think there's better, more entertaining Christmas movies.
All right. Well, it is Higby's in the movie. It is Jack's Casino now in Cleveland. And it is, speaking of Jack's, how about that? Good segue, John. Jacksonville, 7 o'clock, the Jacksonville Jaguars. I'm going to start off. I'm going to be the Jacksonville Jaguars, as most mocks are. These are the picks that what we think the team would do in this situation. Not necessarily what we think they should do and say, well, they probably will do this, but we want something else. We're going to do mostly what we think the team will do in these situations. And I'm going to go with Trevor Lawrence. Obviously, he's been the number one pick earmarked since his freshman year of 2018 at Clemson. So he'll go number one. Number two to the Jets, John.
Yeah, Zach Wilson. And don't we hope on Thursday night that these obvious selections go this quick?
I would hope so. I'm going to have number three. Now, it's funny because we're hearing all this sourcing coming out. What's going to happen? I kind of should have had you start off because I wanted you to go three and then figure out what's going to happen. So I think now the latest that we're hearing is that Kyle Shanahan really wants Mac Jones. So guess what? I think Kyle Shanahan's going to get his guy, and I'm going to go with Mac Jones, number three, to start this exercise to see how the board falls. But we don't really know what's going to happen. I'm going to take Mac Jones to the San Francisco 49ers here.
Which seems crazy. But three quarterbacks are going to go 1, 2, 3. The draft begins at 4, in my opinion. If we're not doing trades, which probably would make things way too complicated, the best player available is Kyle Pitts. So that's the direction I'm going to go.
All right. So Kyle Pitts goes number 4. By the way, John and I are both using mock draft machines. I'm using the Draft Network. Which one are you? Same thing?
Me too. Yep.
Okay. So that way we can kind of keep track of all of these picks. All right. The Cincinnati Bengals are up. When I did the mock last week with WGR, I had the Cincinnati Bengals taking Ja'Marr Chase because in NFL circles, I guess that's kind of where they seem to be leaning. But I'm going to go different this time because I still think that the tackle, Penei Sewell, is very much in play. And I think they have to protect, you know, Joe Burrow. So I think I'm going to take Penei Sewell, number 5, the offensive tackle for Oregon, to the Cincinnati Bengals here.
And this is exactly the perfect case scenario for the Dolphins and why I believe they traded back up to 6. I think they want Pitts or Ja'Marr Chase. They need to add a weapon with Tua. And worst case would be if Sewell fell for them, they could still use a tackle. In this case, Ja'Marr Chase is on the board, and that's another big-time weapon for Tua.
All right, so John Scott, Spectrum News, he's picking the even-numbered picks. I'm picking the odd-numbered picks. We go Pitts, Sewell, Chase, 4, 5, 6. Now we get to 7. It is the Detroit Lions, and I think there's a perfect scenario for the Detroit Lions. They get what I think many consider the best receiver in this class, although I think Chase is probably a little ahead of Waddle. Waddle's certainly a guy that you can't go wrong with. Jalen Waddle goes to Detroit. They just lost Kenny Golladay, obviously. Marvin Jones no longer there, so I think this is a great fit for them, Jalen Waddle.
Yeah, and in other mocks I've done here at 8 with Carolina, you could go a couple different directions, but you always want to protect your quarterback here, so I'm going to go with Rashawn Slater, the tackle out of Northwestern.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is a really nice. That's basically, you know, need meets value for them for sure. That gets to number 9. I cannot see how the Denver Broncos would let Justin Fields slip by them at number 9 if he's still there. But John, here's the thing. I've said this in a few mocks. I've taken Justin Fields here. This is a pick maybe more about Drew Lock than it is about Justin Fields. And I know you're an Ohio State guy. You've watched him. So you can give a quick opinion on him if you will, because I think our listeners would be curious from an Ohio State guy.
Right. I don't understand why he's not considered the third or maybe even the second best quarterback in this thing. I've seen things, you know, well, he couldn't beat out Jake Fromm. I mean, that was years ago, and Jake Fromm was a good, solid college quarterback. There's a lot of quarterbacks that are very good in college that don't project and ultimately, you know, play well in the NFL. I don't think that that should have anything to do with where Justin Fields is. He was fantastic at Ohio State. His athleticism has been showcased on the field and with pro day. He has the arm to make all the throws. Just because an Ohio State quarterback hasn't been great in the NFL, that's another, I think, unnecessary knock, because how many schools have produced great quarterbacks consistently? So this would be a home run for the Broncos. And maybe put Drew Lock kind of in that Sam Darnold type situation of a guy you don't maybe want to give up on, but a team may take a swing on.
And one quick point too: Patrick Mahomes couldn't beat out Davis Webb until he got hurt twice at Texas Tech, which is
right.
So you're
good
right.
Call.
Yeah.
All right. So you're going Fields at 9. All right.
Fields 10. At 9.
All right. I've seen a lot of this, and it would make sense. They need corner help. That defense was awful in Dallas, despite Dak Prescott pre-injury being Superman. Patrick Surtain, the second, most believe is the best cornerback in this draft. So that's the route I'm going to go at 10.
Yeah, this leaves interesting options available for the Giants at 11, because I think that, Devonta Smith sitting there, you'd be very kind of tempting to take him. But, you know, they went out and they overhauled the offense a little bit to add some weapons in the offseason. Now I think they have to concentrate on defense. And part of the reason I love this pick, because they used to have a guy named Jason Sehorn. Like J.C. Horn. Now they're going to have a J.C. Horn, which is Joe Horn's son, the corner out of South Carolina. I'll take him to the Giants. I think they have to help that defense.
All right. The Eagles, I mean, they're clearly reshuffling the deck here. Devontae Smith is interesting, but I'm going to go defense. And I think Micah Parsons, the Penn State guy, going to the Eagles is the route I'm going to go.
I was just watching some more film on him this morning, man. He's good. He's a really good athlete, by the way. He can do a lot of different things. Are you surprised Devontae Smith has fallen this far in our mock?
No. I think 166 pounds is the weigh-in. I mean, some of my skinniest friends are 166 pounds, and that's not denying his talent, but the NFL level, I mean, even if he packed on 15 pounds of muscle, 180 is still pretty small for an NFL guy. So if you're going to invest a first round pick, you want him to be durable. And at 166, I think there's serious questions.
The Draft Network's board has Christian Darrisaw as the top rated tackle on the board. And right now he's also, in fact, he's pretty close to top rated. He's 15th. And I think that's the right spot here for him to go to the Chargers. They need to protect Justin Herbert as well. They have weapons. They don't need to add weapons. They need protection for their young quarterback. Not that he took a ton of sacks last year, but you want to make sure that you're keeping him upright as much as possible. That brings us to 14 in the Minnesota Vikings.
Boy, wouldn't this be interesting? Because a lot of people, I mean, Kirk Cousins is still there, but not everyone's sold on him. Would you take a guy like Lance to roll the dice? If not, New England hits an absolute home run here. I'm going to go with them going on defense, and I'm going to say Jalen Phillips is the pick here. And that I would say is one of the worst case scenarios as a Bills fan with New England coming at 15.
Yeah, because New England comes up at 15 and, you know, there's rumblings today they're going to trade into the top 10 or trying to get a quarterback. Well, they don't have to here in this scenario. Trey Lance, by the way, Trey Lance, a native of Minnesota, the Vikings pass on him and they let him go to the Bills division rival, the New England Patriots. I'm going to take Trey Lance. The Patriots get what they hope is their quarterback of the future at 15.
Absolutely. Now you move to 16 and that is Arizona. And while I'm not completely familiar with all of their team, I do know, obviously, with Cliff Kingsbury and everything, the focus is on defense or offense, excuse me. I'm going to go defense here. And a guy a lot of Bills fans really like, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah out of Notre Dame, a versatile linebacker that kind of is that safety linebacker mix.
Yeah, that's interesting. This is an interesting team for them. They could have gone a lot of different directions. You know, the Raiders are sitting there, and we know that they love their receivers over the years, right? Devontae Smith is out there. But again, I think there's an issue where they still have to find a way to revamp their offensive line. They've revamped, I should say, their offensive line. They still have a little question at right tackle. In fact, a couple of days ago, Mike Mayock was talking about a practice squad player possibly being a projected starter there. Well, this is where Tevin Jenkins comes in. I think this is perfect need meets value for the Raiders to go Tevin Jenkins, the offensive tackle. He could play guard as well out of Oklahoma State.
And now we fall to the Miami Dolphins, their second round pick. And I mean, when you look at it, Devontae Smith is a guy a lot of people had mocked, a lot of people had him mocked to them early,
right?
In the beginning portion of the first round. I'm going to go here on the defensive side of things, and I'm going to take Kwity Paye out of Michigan, arguably the top edge rusher in this class.
Boy, if they come away from this draft with Paye and one of those big three or four receivers, whatever, that's a nice haul for the Miami Dolphins in these two picks. There's no doubt about it. All right, let's go to Washington, who's up next. Boy, Smith is still staring them right there. I mean, what do they do? Do they take Devonta Smith? Do they pull the trigger on that? I don't know. Let me just see. Who are the offensive tackles are starting to come off the board as well, so I can't go there. You know what? They need a little more help on the offense, but I think with Caleb Farley, the cornerback, sitting there where he is, I think the medicals on him are the only question. I'm going to take Caleb Farley to go to Washington. It's kind of in their backyard there, Virginia Tech, so maybe that they have a little more intel on him as well.
Yeah, and now I'm going to actually – the Devontae Smith free fall is going to end here with the Bears. Okay. I think especially with the Allen Robinson situation seemingly heading to a bad road, I think you replenish the wide receiving group and try to make the most.
So Brett brings us to 21 to round out the top 20. We had starting at 17, Raiders, Tevin Jenkins, 18, Kwity Paye, 19, Caleb Farley, and 20, Devontae Smith, the wide receiver out of Alabama. John Scott is picking the even numbers. I'm picking the odd numbers right now. We'll flip-flop it when we're done here after we get all the way to the Bills pick. That brings us to the Colts at number 21. There's two things they absolutely need. That is offensive tackle and edge rusher. Right now, the offensive tackles are kind of thinning out, but edge rusher, there's a guy sitting there I really like, Azeez Ojulari of Georgia. I like him for the Bills. I don't think he'll get there, and he stops right here in this mock going 21 to the Colts.
And now we are at 22 with the Tennessee Titans. And this is an interesting one. According to the Draft Network, cornerback is their top need. We know that they could use wide receivers here. You know what? I'm going to go with, after losing Corey Davis, I'm going to go with Rashad Bateman out of Minnesota to fill that void and continue to have a dynamic duo with him and A.J. Brown.
Yeah, I like it. Rashad Bateman, I like him as a player. I think he walks in right away and he fits that offense. He can play kind of right away in the NFL. All right, pick number 23. This is going to be the New York Jets. Remember, they went with Zach Wilson on the offensive side, but now here they're looking maybe for the defensive side. Is there someone, you know, who's staring right at the right, them in the face? Is Zaven Collins, the linebacker. And I know that they CJ Mosley. CJ Mosley, he hasn't played in like 2 years. But to me, this looks like a guy that could kind of fit right in their defense. I think Zaven Collins is a guy that goes right to the Jets there, and then they figure out what they want to do with CJ Mosley. I'll take Collins, number 23.
And Collins is similar to JOW or JOK, I should say, from Notre Dame, is one of those hybrid guys that seem to be the real, you know, flashy thing to add, like a Matt Milano type guy. All right, Steelers at 24. I think their offensive line needs work. And as much as we've seen maybe Najee Harris or ETN at this point, Elijah Vera Tucker is a guy who played tackle, can play guard as well, and they can figure it out with, you know, similar to what the Bills have done with Cody Ford. So Elijah Vera Tucker from USC.
And Kevin Colbert was actually even saying the same thing, I think, earlier today, where he talked about like just a little more work to be done on the offensive line. So I think that's really interesting. So the Jags, they got their quarterback at the top of the draft when we started this. You know, they still need a little offensive line help. I don't really like what's going on overall in the tackle spot, but Christian Barmore is there. Defensive line, Christian Barmore is there as well. What about interior offensive lineman? Landon Dickerson, that's who I was going to look at. Sorry, I hit the wrong page. Landon Dickerson out of Alabama. I like him. He can do a lot for the Jags up front. He can help out their young quarterback, of course, and he comes from a program in Alabama. And, you know, he's played a lot. He's played a while now. He's played 5 years, but he's had a lot of injuries. But I do think he fits up here for the Jags to kind of help out their young quarterback up front, Landon Dickerson.
All right, now the Cleveland Browns.
The Browns have started here.
And after releasing Sheldon Richardson, they're going to go right back and fill the well with Christian Barmore from Alabama.
Yeah, you like that player for the Browns?
I do. I think that or corner. So I would say it was between Christian Barmore or Greg Newsome II, who ironically I think, not to get ahead of ourselves, are two guys that should be on the Bills' radar at 30.
All right, so the Ravens here, they can go in a number of directions. Remember, they have two first-rounders now, 27 and 31, after the trade they made with the Kansas City Chiefs. But they are always searching for wide receiver help, and Elijah Moore is staring them right in the face here. So I think Elijah Moore would fit right on the Ravens, be put in that offense to help out, you know, Lamar Jackson. They've been in search of – there used to be a show called In Search Of with Leonard Nimoy. That was the Ravens and wide receivers, and I think they could add Elijah Moore, who I like as a player a lot, by the way.
And you add Elijah Moore's speed with Hollywood Brown's speed, yeah, with Lamar Jackson's speed, you'd be chasing guys for day. It's almost like facing the Chiefs. All right, the Saints are at 28 here, and I'm going to take another Big Ten cornerback to help them, and I'm going to go with Greg Newsome here to go opposite, not Marshawn Lattimore.
Michael Thomas.
No, the cornerback.
Oh, yeah, Lattimore, you're right.
Okay, yeah.
There you go. You had it right the first time. You're talking about that. We're going fast here, folks. So that's why we're getting caught up a little bit. We're trying to do this as fast as possible. I'm sorry. Who was the pick, though?
I did Greg Newsome II out of Northwestern.
Oh, man. I'm telling you, John, every single time I do a mock, every time, Greg Newsome is there. He's there. He's there. And I'm like, oh, my God, he fits for the Bills. And he gets snatched up right before the Bills pick, just like you did. So it doesn't surprise me that he went right there. And then here we have the Green Bay Packers at 29, who always seem to need help for Aaron Rodgers, but don't give him help. But in this case, I think they might be able to give him some help because there are some very talented wide receivers still left out there, including Kadarius Toney, the slot receiver, who can fit right into that offense, give Aaron Rodgers another weapon. So, yep, Aaron, you finally got what you wanted. I'm going to give you Kadarius Toney from the Green Bay Packers. That brings us to number 30 in the Buffalo Bills. It is an even pick, so I'll let you go first, but let's kind of talk about the way the board has fallen for the Bills here. Do you like the way the board has fallen? Do you like the options available? Or in this spot, if you were Brandon Bean, would you say I'd rather trade down?
I would rather trade down, and this is a scenario that as I've run a lot of mocks over the past month or so, I seem to find myself at 30 with the Bills in this position. Both running backs are on the board. There is a wide receiver or two in that grouping that's there. And then you're kind of at the back end of the edge rushers. And so I think it's like a little too high to maybe go that edge rushers. There's that second tier of cornerbacks that I don't necessarily think you go with at 30. So in this scenario, I would be looking to trade down and maybe recoup a fourth or just get another top 100 pick.
Yeah, I agree. Everything you said about the board, every time I do a mock, the way it falls for the Bills, I'm just not in love with it. I'd rather the Bills either trade up to get somebody they really like, or once you get here, kind of trade down. But not going to happen here in our draft. I mean, you do have some guys that have kind of been going and been tied to the Bills a little bit. If you want to go edge, you have Tryon and Owe. If you want to go wide receiver, Rondale Moore is still there. Terrace Marshall Jr. is still there. There are some players, but you don't have to go to either of those positions. What do you want to do at 30? I'll let you start.
If they're not trading, I'm going to go with I'll go with Travis Etienne. I think because I feel like he could help them in the offense more now and later than a wide receiver. Another position I've been advocating them to take early. And if I did, I would have gone Terrace Marshall Jr. But I'm going to go with Travis Etienne at 30 for the Bills, the running back out of Clemson.
If I was in this spot for the Bills, I think I might go Joe Tryon, maybe Asante Samuel, but I don't love a Samuel's fit in the Bills defense necessarily. I like him as a player, you know, but I don't know if that's a fit necessarily. I'd probably go Tryon given the way the board fell. Quick question for you. Do you have Etienne? Like, do you have him ahead of Harris overall or just for a Bills fit?
I think I have him overall, but in particular for a Bills fit. Harris doesn't like he has more speed than you would think from someone his size, but he's not the ultimate home run hitter. And if they didn't have Moss and Singletary, I probably would be more on board with the Harris pick. But for what the Bills have, Etienne, and I do tend to like him just in general more so slightly than Harris.
Okay. Let's just round it out so I can basically do a screenshot and print it up. I'm going to go with Joe Tryon then, the edge rusher, 31 for the Ravens, who are now in that spot. And that brings us to 32 for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Where would they go at the back end of the round?
You know what? Let's get the rich get richer. Terrace Marshall Jr., I think then that way they can kind of, you know, it fills Antonio Brown's the uncertainty. And now, once again, Brady throwing to a plethora of weapons offensively.
Okay, so I think I can save this somehow, right? I can do a
If you want to
save the mock. All right, I'm gonna write Sal and John one so that I can put it up there for everybody to see a little bit later. All right, so let me just take 1 second here to kind of start a new mock. We're gonna do that. So John and I went through. See, that didn't go too badly. Any surprises as you look over the first round and you take a look? I think Devonta Smith falling as far as he did, but I think it is possible that happens now.
Absolutely. I do think that that's how it could fall. It is interesting. Again, not too much in the mock world is surprising me at this point, only because I've run so many simulations myself that I feel like I've touched on every single sort of a scenario. And again, the way things fell with the Bills is pretty common. So was not too surprised about that.
Hey, he is John Scott, Spectrum News. You can follow him on Twitter at John Scott TV. You see that down there on the screen. We're doing a little video here as well, but this is the Sal Sports and Stuff podcast. By the way, thanks for downloading, subscribing. We got iTunes, Spotify, the Odyssey website and app, WGR550.com, all those different platforms for you on the podcast. Thanks for everybody for helping me get on the top charts of iTunes. I'm super pumped and proud about that. I'm going to keep it rolling this week with a lot of draft talk, and we're starting off with mock drafts here on a Monday. It's a double mock draft day. I just started with number one. John starts with number one here in mock draft. Number two, you are on the clock with the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Trevor Lawrence. And again, if this takes the full 15, I'm going to be super annoyed with my guy Urban Meyer.
Hopefully that doesn't happen for sure. The Jets are going to go with Zach Wilson. I mean, they could throw a curveball. I don't see it happening. There's been nothing to suggest anything other than Zach Wilson to the Jets basically since his pro day.
And you know what? I'm going to go with Trey Lance at number three for the San Francisco 49ers.
Something different. I'm glad you did that so that we didn't go through the same exercise here in the top five.
Right. And if it truly is between Mac Jones and Trey Lance, I think maybe Josh Allen showed teams that it's worth it to roll the dice on the guy with more top end potential than it is to play it safe. And I just, for the life of me, it's not a major indictment on Mac Jones, but he's not the third best quarterback in this draft. I just cannot foresee that happening. I would be shocked if that happened. So I'm going Trey Lance.
Okay, that brings me to number four, and I'm not going to do much different than you did because I do think Kyle Pitts is the best non-quarterback in this draft. And look who their head coach is now, Arthur Smith, you know, coming from Tennessee, a very good offensive mind. I think he'll figure out how to use him. And I know there's been some talk about maybe trading Julio Jones. Maybe this is why. Maybe it's for a receiver, but they know they're going to add another weapon. There's so many mouths to feed, right? So I'm going to go Kyle Pitts at number four, bringing us to the Bengals at number five.
All right, and for the sake of not repeating ourselves, let's go with Ja'Marr Chase. Let's reunite Joe Burrow with his top target from that incredibly prolific offense at LSU. So the Bengals beefing up on wide receivers, they're bringing in Ja'Marr Chase.
All right, so that leaves to me a guy that I think Bills fans will not want to see on the Miami Dolphins. That is Jalen Waddle. You know, there's two schools of thought. Do you help Tua with a guy that can kind of work underneath and accentuate his short game, or hey, give him the guy that he can hit the home run ball with? And I think Jalen Waddle can do everything, so I'm going to go Jalen Waddle to the Miami Dolphins at number six.
And now you look at Detroit and you're like, okay, I mean, if I have to take the top tackle in this draft, I'm more than okay doing that. Penei Sewell out of Oregon at seven to the Detroit Lions.
And that takes us to number eight. I think you did the same thing here, but I cannot pass up on Rashawn Slater to help out an offensive line that needs a little bit of help and obviously to protect Sam Darnold and maybe a younger quarterback down the road if I eventually move on from Darnold.
And then that brings us to Denver, where, again, Justin Fields is sitting here just staring them in the face. But you know what? I think Josh Allen showed that patience is a virtue that teams maybe should be willing to have through three seasons to see. And I think with Drew Lock, he has the talent. Turnovers are terrible. Decision-making hasn't been great. But those are some things we did see with Josh. Not the exact same trajectory, but I think they're going to roll with him one more year. They're going to go a different direction here. And that's where I think Patrick Surtain is going to be the pick here for Denver at nine.
All right. I like it because you're going a little different, even for the sake of doing it. I don't care. That's great. I haven't. I've been a little too consistent from our first one, but that, what you did though, forces me not to, because you had Surtain going 10 to the Dallas Cowboys. So that means I have to do something a little bit different. I do think the Cowboys need corner help though. And I think JC Horn is considered the consensus number two, probably corner, maybe number three, even. Caleb Farley's still sitting there, but I think Horn fits what the Cowboys want to do. I'm going to go with him at number 10.
And now we're at 11 with the New York Giants. Hey, let's see here. Let's beef up the defense, and I'm going to go with Kwity Paye out of Michigan, going much higher in this round with us than he did the previous mock.
It's funny. All the mocks that I do, the edge guys, none of them go early, but then there's a huge run on them from like 10 to 20. Boom, boom, boom. They just go off the board, right? And you start to see one, you're like, ooh, I like it. And then it just doesn't work out because they wind up going off the board. That brings us to 12 and the Philadelphia Eagles. It happened last time. It's not going to happen this time. I'm going to have the Eagles take Devonta Smith, the wide receiver. He's not going to slip that far this time. He's going to stay at number 12, and I think the Eagles could really use him.
All right, we're at 13 with the Chargers. And let's protect Justin Herbert, Christian Darrisaw, the tackle out of Virginia Tech.
All right. We both go tackle for the Chargers. I think we're both in the same wavelength there, but now something totally different for the Vikings. Justin Fields at 14. That is great value. And here's the best part about the Vikings. This is Andrew Brandt tweeted something earlier today, who used to work for the Packers. He said, the best time to grab a young QB is when you don't need one. That way you're not forced into one, basically, to try and have to chase one later. Like, you could say they need a QB, but come on, Kirk Cousins is still the starter there. You have the best of both worlds here. You can let Kirk Cousins play, groom Justin Fields, move on from Kirk Cousins. Justin Fields becomes the starter in Minnesota. I got Fields to the Vikings here at 14.
And what a great situation for Fields to come into offensively there. That leaves the last quarterback standing for the Patriots at 15 is Mac Jones. And I heard you and Jeremy discussing this earlier. This would be the guy that you would be most okay with New England getting, and I agree with that. Mac Jones, the quarterback out of Alabama, goes to the Patriots at 15.
The Cardinals can do a lot of different things. I think both of us agree that maybe defense is where they lean, and Caleb Farley, to me, really fits. They just lost Patrick Peterson. I think this is a spot for them to take a look at that particular position and grab a guy who many believe is the number one player, but he does have a bit of a medical concern. You have to get past that, but let's just say they do. I have the Cardinals with Caleb Farley.
Let's go to the Raiders at 17, and let's address that tackle spot with Tevin Jenkins, the tackle out of Oklahoma State.
Yeah, they, again, you know, they overhauled that line, but they still have that need at right tackle. I like it. All right, the Miami Dolphins are next up. What did we do early on? You had
Kwity Paye.
Okay, edge for the Dolphins on the first pick. So you know what? I think they might want to go. You know, I'm going to throw a little curveball at you here, John. I don't know if we've had this guy going this high in a lot of mocks, but I'm going to have the Dolphins shoring up the run game with Najee Harris. I think Harris is. The Dolphins have been a team in search of a run game for a while. They've been shuffling running backs in and out. Harris can come right in. He can play, and he can be a player on their team and reunite him, by the way, with Tua.
I like that. That puts 19 with the Washington football team. And I'm going to go with Micah Parsons, a guy who probably has top five talent. There's some other concerns with people. But talent-wise, that's a really good value pick at 19.
Okay, that leaves the Chicago Bears at number 20. You talked about, I think we went wide receiver last time, that's really not an option at this particular point. Is there really a quarterback left for them? No. Okay. So how about we go, you know what? I'm going to stick with corner. I'm going to go on that side of the ball. Let me look at my board here. Maybe a little overdraft by some of the mocks I've seen, but Greg Newsome II, the guy that I say always seems to go off the board before they get to the Buffalo Bills, maybe a little earlier than normal, but I think the Bears would like to help out that defense there with Greg Newsome II. That will help their getting to the passer as well, having a little more coverage.
And he's a Chicago guy who went to Northwestern. Yeah. I think he'd be pretty cool with that. All right, 21, the Colts, excuse me, at 21. And as much as they've been known for their offensive line, I think they could still use a little help there, especially, what was it, Anthony Costanzo, I believe, retired.
Yeah.
So let's go with Elijah Vera Tucker. Again, I mentioned it earlier. He played tackle. Some may think similar to Cody Ford, maybe better suited at guard, but they can kick the tires at tackle to start.
And that leaves number 22, and we come up to the Tennessee Titans. The Titans, you know, you could make an argument for a few different spots for the Titans. You made a really good one at wide receiver last time, and in fact, I think I might want to go there. Let me just check out, see where my guy Bateman is. Yes, he's still there. Rashad Bateman at 22. I think that's a fit for them. He could go right off the board. Did you take Bateman for them as well?
I certainly did, yes.
Okay, so I didn't mean that. I didn't even realize it, but I think that's a fit for them at 22.
I would agree with that. The Jets here at 23. I'm going to go with Travis Etienne. Let's add some more offensive weapons as the Jets try to not replicate their shortcomings by surrounding Sam Darnold with a lack of talent. They're going to try to replenish things to do better with Zach Wilson.
Wow. So that leaves now the Pittsburgh Steelers without a running back option, because a lot of people thought that the Steelers would actually have a running back in their sights here, whether that be Harris or Etienne. But you know what? The Steelers do need to shore up their offensive line. Landon Dickerson out of Alabama, he can play different spots. He's smart. He can do a few different things for them and fit in. So I'm going to put Landon Dickerson on the Steelers at 24.
All right. Now it's the Jags at 25. Obviously already addressed Trevor Lawrence. I'm going to go with bringing him a weapon. And let's go Terrace Marshall Jr., out of LSU, 25, to try to bolster the weapons around their young quarterback.
Okay, so Terrace Marshall Jr. goes 25 to the Jags. That brings me to 26, the Browns. You know what? The Browns have been haven't been shy in taking some risks. Jalen Phillips could be the number one pass rusher in this draft. There's a lot of questions about him, but I think that he could fit right there on the opposite side of Myles Garrett and Jalen Phillips. I have 26 of the Browns.
And let's go with another edge rusher at 27 to Baltimore, Azeez Ojulari out of Georgia. As you stated earlier, the edge rushers tend to go in a bit of a run this later than we had it the first time around.
That brings number 28. That is the New Orleans Saints. I think the Saints also want to address the edge, try to get to the quarterback a little bit. I'm going to go Joe Tryon, Washington, going to the Saints at 28.
All right, 29, we have the Green Bay Packers. And I think this is just a value pick as much as anything. Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoa out of Notre Dame. Again, a hybrid guy that can kind of fly around similarly to what the Bills have currently with Matt Milano.
Ooh, if we are here for the Buffalo Bills, I do not like the way this board particularly fell, but there is one player that I think that would fit in that they could definitely use. But this is another situation where I think I'd rather see the Bills maybe trade down and get some more value a little bit later, or trade up before we got to this particular point. Now, Zaven Collins is the number one ranked player left on the board on the Draft Network. And there's, I love the player. John, I just don't see how he fits unless you totally plan on moving on from Tremaine Edmonds, because they're not Matt Milano. They just signed him. And I don't think the Bills are willing to do that. If I knew they were, I would completely take Zaven Collins here. I'm not going to do that, though. I'm going to take Elijah Moore, the wide receiver, out of Ole Miss. I think this would be a really nice fit for the Bills on an offense that Sean McDermott said, we can't lose our fastball. What do you think about the way the board looks here?
Well, I love Elijah Moore pick. If of any of these wide receivers at the back end of the first round, he would be the one. He has a great return ability. It's interesting. I had a great discussion on social media, Twitter, last week when I profiled Zaven Collins. What would be interesting is how the Bills would use someone like him, because you could potentially go more base, and then you wouldn't use the nickel as much, and you would be relying on either your safeties in coverage or Collins and Milano in coverage, which would be an interesting way for them to utilize things. But I agree with you. If Matt Milano wasn't re-signed, that would be the easiest pick right here. I'm not a fan of it with the way that it fell. Again, you have the same conversations. Like Gregory Rousseau out of Miami is really the best edge rusher. Do you want to go there? There's questions about him after not a great pro day. You have that crop of slot receivers that Moore's in there, or some linebackers or things like that. So I would agree with you. In this scenario, Elijah Moore would be my pick as well.
All right, so that brings us to 31. We'll round it out with you picking the Ravens and me picking the Buccaneers.
All right, I'm going to go with Trevon Moehrig out of TCU with safety to get them some help in the back end.
And I am going to go for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You know what? Let's go with Christian Barmore. Let's add to the defensive line so that, you know, they're getting older up there in age. So we will do that, and we will round out the first round with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Christian Barmore. All right, John, I know that you're busy. You got to go. I appreciate you doing this very much. Thanks for joining the South Sports and Stuff podcast. Tell everybody what you have going on and where.
Right. I'm rounding out my prospect profiles. Usually I like to schedule them to the last few of them are the guys I think really could be in the Bills plan. So these next 3 days are the ones that I think probably would be best case and guys that could be in the fold at 30, as well as I'm making my trip. Haven't been back home to Cleveland in over 2 years. I will be there for the draft starting Wednesday, Thursday, Friday for our coverage. And you know, I'm excited to stop the projections and start the discussion after the decisions are made.
Okay. All right, John. Thanks, buddy. I really appreciate it. And we'll be looking for your coverage. Thanks for joining me here today. And you have a great rest of your day and week.
Thanks. You too, man.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.